ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
From the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 3, Text 38.
Natma jajana namarishyati nairate so.
Natma jajana namarishyati nairate
so. Nachiyate savana vibhyavacharinam hi.
Nachiyate savana
Sarvatra sashvat anapav yubalabdhi matram Prano yatentriya balena vikalpitam sa
Prano yatentriya balena vikalpitam sa
Never.
Atma.
Atma. The soul.
The soul.
Jajana.
Jajana.
Was born.
Was born.
Na.
Na.
Never.
Never.
Marishyati.
Marishyati.
Will die.
Will die.
Na.
Na.
Does not.
Does not.
Kedate.
Kedate.
Grow.
Grow.
Aso.
Aso.
This.
This.
Na.
Na.
Does not.
Jiyate.
Become diminished.
Saranavid.
The knower of the knower of these phases of time. Vyabhicharinam. As they occur in other changing beings. He indeed. Lavatra, everywhere, Kashpat,
constantly,
Anapai,
never
disappearing, Upalabdhi
Matram,
pure consciousness,
Pranayata,
just like the light air within the body.
Indriya balena,
by the force of the senses, vikalpitam, imagined as divided,
but
becoming, Brahman, the eternal soul, was never born, never die, nor does it grow or decay. That spiritual soul is actually the knower of the youth, middle age, and death. Of the material body. Thus the soul can be understood to be pure consciousness, existing everywhere, at all times, and never being destroyed, just as the life air within the body, although one, becomes manifest as many in contact with the various material senses. The one soul appears to assume various material designations in contact with the material body. The Vedic aphorism, Saravam Kaloidam Brahma, everything is Brahman, has been explained in this chapter of the Bhagavatam. The Supreme Personality of God is the original source of everything. By expanding his internal potency, he manifests the spiritual world, and by expanding his external potency, he manifests the material, a cosmos. The conditioned living entity is originally part and parcel of the superior. Internal potency of the Lord, being in contact with illusion, he falls under the clutches of the external energy, external potency. In any case, since everything is an expansion of the potency of the Supreme Brahman, everything is part and parcel of the Lord's spiritual potency. I am Vitya Vinivesata Syat Ishat Apeta Syat Vipaya Yoshmiti. When a living entity thinks that the material world is not part and parcel of the Lord's potency, but is a separate existence, liable to be controlled and enjoyed by the tiny jiva soul, he is under vipariyata, or a wrong conception, asmriti. Thus the living entity forgets that the Supreme Lord is the proprietor of everything, everything being an expansion of the Lord. So the Siddha Swami has pointed out that Allah, the Lord's external potency is subject to transformations such as birth, growth, decay and death. But you not foolishly conclude that the Lord's internal potency, the living entity, is also subject to these changes. Both the living entity and material nature are ultimately Brahman, the expansions of the Supreme Brahman. But the Vedas clearly say, Rashya Shakti Vividaya Sriyate, the Lord's potencies are Vivida, or multifarious. Thus, according to this verse, Atma Jajana Na Manishyati Naivate So Na Chiyate, the soul is never born, nor does he die. And he certainly cannot grow or decay like a material body. Well, the visible material body passes through boyhood, adolescence, and old age, or one may take birth as a demigod human being, plant, or animal. Spirit soul never changes his eternal constitutional position. Rather, he falsely identifies with the external transformations of the material body, and thus imposes in himself a psychological condition called illusion. This miserable illusory experience of seeing oneself transformed ultimately nullified by the laws of nature can be nullified by transcendental knowledge of one's eternal status as the superior energy of the Lord. So, not a very long purpose. We'll just stop there and can speak a little bit about what's being said. So, again, Yogendras, we were saying yesterday, for those who weren't here, Yogendras, nine Yogendras, are speaking to Maharaj Nini, and this story is related by Narad Muni to Vasudeva. Now, the nine Yogendras are nine sons of Lord Rishabdev. Maharaj was the eldest son, and he had 100 sons. And many of them were expert in different performances of ceremony and yajna and so on and so forth. Knowers of the Shmitis and Srutis and so on. These nine Yogendras were more or less wandering mendicants. They were very advanced in transcendental knowledge and are great devotees of the Supreme Personality of God. They were wandering everywhere. They came from the residence of Maharaj Nini, and one by one they're explaining different points of the transcendental philosophy to Maharaj Nini. Kavi, all the different sons, all the different Yogendras are one by one speaking. So yesterday there was a discussion on the position of Brahman being everywhere, coming originally, of course, Brahmanohi Pratishtaham Mandasya Vyasacha Shashvatasya Chadana Yukatsya Kampikas, coming originally from the Supreme Personality of God, the effulgence of the Lord. That effulgence is spread everywhere. It is effulgence of the body of the Lord, and within that effulgence also there is the Jivatma. There are many living entities who are residing within that Brahman, along with the effulgence of them. They are resting on that effulgence. And actually resting on that effulgence is the existence, total existence, spiritual existence, material existence, all the energies of the Lord are resting on his personal effulgence, his potency, Brahman, and potency, the spiritual world, which is made up of all the Vaikuntha planets, and this material world, and with all its universes and planetary systems, is actually resting on that Brahman. We cannot see the Brahman whilst in this world in the conditioned state. Just like the someone living here in Melbourne today, is very cloudy, you cannot see the sun, but of course we know the sun is existing beyond the cloud cover. The effulgence of the sun is also existing beyond the cloud cover. So similarly, beyond the covering of this material universe, the effulgence of Brahman is existing and permeating, and the material energy is resting on this other energy, Brahman. Now, of course, here also is explained, Brahman can be sometimes used as in describing the effulgence, sometimes just used as a description to explain the position of the Atma, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. All are sometimes referred to as Brahman. Here, we're reading that the Atma, the Jivatma, you and I, also Brahman. There's Brahman, there's Paramahman, which is Krishna originally, the source of Brahman, is called Paramahman. But Brahman is the source, can be the effulgence, can be the Atma, can be Paramatma. Now, all these aspects are correctly described as Brahman because they have the same spiritual quality. Same quality, just like the drop of water has the same quality as the ocean of water. The ocean is also water, the drop is also water. Can't say it'd be different. Both is water. Of course, the quantity is different. But the quality is the same. The drop and the ocean, same quality. So the Atma is the same quality as the Supreme. So the Supreme is Brahman, the Atma is also Brahman. Nityo, Nityanam, Chaitanam, Chaitanam, Ekodamam, Yogi, Dadikam. And there is many eternals. But there is one who is supplying the needs of all the others. So all of us have similar qualities. All of us have our different individuality and a different existence, as well as having simultaneous qualities there, you know, linked to every living entity, to the energy, and all is eternal, actually. All is eternal. Even the the description is given here of the superior energy, antaranga shakti and the bahyanga shakti, the tashka shakti. All these different energies are explained. One is considered the internal potency. One is the external potency. One is the marginal. This material world is considered the external potency, but all are eternal, but acting in different ways. That's all. So yesterday someone was asking about this material world. Yes, that is also eternal, but we see in the world in this energy, coming from Krishna, meant to act in a certain way, and has its function. So in this energy, it is going on perpetually, but it's transforming continuously. There is birth, there is death, and here is described. Here is described that the soul, Brahman, is never born. Na atma, jajana, na jajana, jajana means born. So the soul is never born, being Brahman, but the world is born. You could say that in the world, the elements are born, the elements are wound up. But the energy is existing, it's just a transformation of the energy. That's continuously going on, but transforming. The creation, growth, sustenance and growth, dwindling, of course, and then finally destruction. So this is going on, you know, as far as the universe, as far as the planetary systems, as far as our bodies are going like that. So also in the Bhagavad Gita there's a description of this stuff. This is a basic philosophy that has been explained by the Yogendras to Maharaj Nimi. Maharaj explaining it to Vasudeva. I was saying yesterday that Vasudeva is very philosophical. The father of Krishna is very, very philosophical, very intelligent. Intellectual and philosophical, but he can understand all these things. And it is mentioned by Srila Prabhupada that the entanglement of the world is very complex. The energy, Rasya Shakti Vividaya Suryate, multifarious energy working in different ways. We are one energy, the world is another energy, Brahman, superior, inferior, marginal, all these things are going on, working in wondrous ways. And this world, if you read in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 15th chapter, is compared to a banyan tree. The banyan tree, many of you know the banyan tree. The banyan tree, big banyan trees, they can take huge areas, isn't it? You've seen the banyan tree. I've seen one banyan tree, occupy a whole block. Probably in India you see like that. I saw in northern Australia they had many banyan trees also. And in Townsville I saw one banyan tree. I thought it was many trees, it was a whole block. It was just covered with trees, and I thought it was many, but actually I looked, it was just one tree. A whole huge block, one tree was going down, and the roots were going down and coming up. And so it was very difficult to understand what was going on there, but actually it was just one tree. But this world is compared in the first verse of the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. It said that there is the imperishable banyan tree that has its roots upward, branches down, whose leaves are the Vedic hymns. One who knows this tree is a knower of the Vedas. This is Krishna is saying to Arjuna. And Prabhupada explained in his purport that, yes, the banyan tree of this world is like an upside down tree. The real tree is in the spiritual world. It's compared to a banyan tree. Not actually a banyan tree, but it's compared to a banyan tree because there are many branch systems and many activities. It's all based on our desire. Now, everything is based on desire. The spiritual realm is based on desire. The material world is based on desire. But in the material world, the desire is, twisted around, perverted, as it's said. Perverted desire. So it's like the desire is going on in the spiritual. Krishna's desires, Radha's desires, all the gopis, gopas, all the devotees, they have the desires. Everything is going on according to desire, our desires. And that desire is pure. And it's not affected or conditioned in any way. It is just free, being in a pure state. So we're just enjoying in the spiritual world, Krishna is enjoying, based on desire. Now, coming, the minute desire wants to be a little bit separate from Krishna and the goings on in the spirit, then Krishna arranges this situation of the material, where that desire, and be going more and more into this world, desire becomes more and more separate. So this is mentioned here, the concept of the material world. Now, one who actually thinks that the material world, that this world we're living in, is a separate existence apart from Krishna, then that is illusion. This is also Krishna's energy. But when we see it as separate, a separate existence, we see ourselves separate, then we are in Maya, we are in illusion. But in the spiritual world, we don't see anything separate from Krishna. And those liberated souls who are living in this world, they don't see anything separate from Krishna either. They see the world as the energy of Krishna. So they can live in the world and be unaffected by the goings on of the world, just remain in a transcendent position. There was one story in the earlier, in the Hare Krishna movement, Prabhupada was walking on the beach, and one disciple said to Prabhupada, "When I come and walk on the beach, it's sometimes I find it hard to think of Krishna. I see the ocean and the beach and everything like that, and I don't think of Krishna." And Prabhupada replied, he said, "Oh, when I look at these things, I can't think of anything but Krishna." So one is seeing it one way, the other is seeing it the other way. So what is the difference? The difference is the consciousness. And he answered like that. One was, "When I see these things, I can't ask you." Because you're trying to separate it from Krishna. That's why. You're trying to separate it from Krishna. But one who is actually in knowledge, he doesn't separate it from Krishna. He just sees it all as all Krishna's. When I see the ocean, it reminds you of Krishna. The beach reminds you of the energy of Krishna. Isn't it? As though when Prabhupada came here one time to Melbourne, one reporter asked, "Well, how do you like it here in Australia?" He said, "I like it everywhere." What is the difference? One can, it's all Krishna's energy. But we are the ones making the distinction. Understand? We are the ones. I like it this way, I like this city better than the other city, I don't like that one, but I like this one. We are living in the world of the dualities, and what's that based on? Our own perception. What will be perceived as good for you will be perceived by someone else as bad. It's like someone living in Melbourne, and someone may say, "I like this city very much. I like the cold, and I like this type of weather." Another one says, "I don't like this type of weather." So it's based on the perception. Your perception. That perception is based on what? It's based on on perception gathered through the material senses and the material mind. That's the problem. We aren't our material senses. And we aren't our material mind. We are Brahman. We are spirit soul. But we are mistaking ourselves to be these senses, to be this mind. That's the problem. And therefore, when we mistake ourselves in that way, we see everything through that, tainted through that. That's not the actual reality. The reality is you are Brahman, and you are eternally connected, we are eternally connected with each other, and we are eternally connected to Krishna. So one who is in Brahman consciousness, he is connected to Krishna, he sees everything differently. But someone who is thinking, I am the material senses, I am the material mind, that will see everything differently. And according to, you know, seeing through the senses, through the mind, no senses are being affected by the object of the senses. Right? Your sight, you see certain things. This is very nicely explained in the Bhagavad Gita, in this particular chapter, Chitnisvottam Chakrushprasham, Vasanam Gunamevacha. This is when the living entity moves from one body to another, he gets a certain type of senses, you know, just according to that body. Certain type of ear, certain type of tongue. And we carry our perception and conception of life from one body to another, that is, ingrained in our mind, and the mind goes from one body, but then we go into another body. So, you know, for example, we have eyes, we have nose, we have ears in the human body, but, the ant body has different ears. Different eyes. The snake has different ears. Different. Now, the snake, the living entity in the snake, is seeing things in a certain way. He is seeing things through the body of the snake. Right? Through the body of the snake. So that, you know, he's saying, I am a snake. And I have to go like this. I have to slide on the ground. I have to go in the tree. I have to do these things. The same living entity who has been in the other body. And before maybe he was a pig. And as a pig, he is thinking, now I've got to do this, I've got to go in the mud, I've got to eat the stool, I've got to... Because of the body and the senses of the body. They may have been a pig, he may have been a snake, and he may have been a cockroach. The cockroach is running here and there. And imagine seeing things through the eyes of the cockroach. But we are seeing like that, and we are thinking, now I am a cockroach. Now I am a snake. Now I am the pig. But the same living entity, now I'm a snake, before you were a pig, and before you were a cockroach. Which one are you? Pig, cockroach, snake, camel, donkey? Which one are you? You are none of these things. But you are thinking, when you are in that body, the body is so affecting the consciousness, and the consciousness has now been covered by the external energy, by our desires. We've removed ourselves from proper Brahman consciousness. And now we are so affected by the body. And now it's explained here that, and I was talking about that banyan tree, the banyan, the branches down, the lower branches, all these lower species of life, very entangling. Very, very entangling. We are under the spell. Utkraman tamstitam bhim bunjanam bhagunam vimunanana pasitigyan chakru, what is that verse? Pasitigyana chakru. Pasitigyana chakru. Instead of seeing with jnana chakru, the eyes of the knowledge, we are seeing through the eyes of the mudha. Vimura. Jnana pasyanti, pasitigyana vimunanam. Vimura. Vimura. The word is used here. Mudha means what? Foolish person. Very, very foolish, ass-like person. Vimura. Very big ass. Very big ass. We have become very big ass. Ass is not considered the most intelligent species of life. Very, very stubborn and foolish. But we become like that. And why? Prabhupada explains, without proper knowledge, your position as Brahman, your connection with the Supreme, your connection with everything else, without jnana chakshusha, without this knowledge, you cannot understand how you're moving through these different bodies. You cannot understand these things. You're totally identifying and being affected by the bodies. You cannot understand. Nor can you understand that after the end of the body you have now, there'll be another body. Different body. You can't understand that. This requires a great amount of knowledge from books like Bhagavad Gita and similar other literatures, Prabhupada says here. And you have to understand this from the bona fide spiritual master. There's Bhagavad Gita, there's Srimad Bhagavatam. But, you know, before coming in contact with the Guru, what do you understood from Bhagavad Gita? What do you understood from Srimad Bhagavatam? The Guru, your acharyas, they're explaining these things. Just like if you're studying medicine, say if you want to study medicine, you want to be a doctor. Someone says, here are the books. Just study and you'll be a doctor. Will it be possible? They just give you the books. Well, here's the books. And then after, you know, a couple of years, okay, come in for now, you have to do surgery. Will anyone trust you? I've read the books. And the patients on the operating table, I look at brain surgery. I've read the books. Will they trust you? No. And I'm just by reading the books. Reading the books by themselves is insufficient. Even in the material world. Even in the material world. You have to go through the whole institution, and you have to go and be taught by the, you have the books, you have to have the books. You have to go to the educational institution, and you have to be taught. The lecturers are there, teaching you, testing you, observing you. And even if you have all those things, you can have the best lecturers, the best university, the best books, the best everything. But then what else do you do? You have to be a good student also. You can have all those things, and if you're a lousy student, you're going to fail. But all these things together have to be, you have to be a good disciple. You have to go to the guru, be a good disciple. Study from the proper books. Come and in the association of devotees. And therefore, Prabhupada gave us all these things. He didn't say just here's the books and then okay, now be Krishna conscious. No, he wanted all these things. He established temples, established programs in the temples. Books are there, guru was there, he instructed the disciples had to be good. All these things have to be there to make advancement. The Prabhupada says here that yes, you need a great amount of knowledge from Bhagavad Gita, from Bhagavatam, and heard from the bona fide spiritual master, and then you can be trained how to perceive all these things, all these things that are going on in the world, and you can be trained to begin to perceive them. Now, this banyan tree of the mature world, there's branches, there's twigs and leaves, and the leaves are compared to the Vedas, and the branches are all the, you know, the lower branches are the lower species of life, and it's all, you know, compared to the banyan tree. The banyan tree, as we said, it's very entangling. If you go inside a huge banyan tree, and you know, you don't know how to get out. It's like a maze. And you can't even perceive it. Now here, it is also mentioned that the banyan tree of the mature world is so huge, so intricate, so complex, and so entangling, and you can't perceive what's going on. You can't perceive what's going on. And I was saying yesterday, you have your modern-day scientists and researchers and so on and so forth, trying to analyse the goings-on in the material world, trying to understand how these things are going on. They come up with some theories and so on and so forth. I mean, certain things, some things look like they are correct, other things are not quite correct. But they're just going in the dark. They're going in the dark because it's so vast and so entangling. And here is explained by the acharyas that no one can actually know. Even this material, no one can actually know how it's going on from the conditioned state. No one can know. It's not impossible to know. But they can go on researching and experimenting and theorizing for lifetime, they will still not actually know what is going on as far as even this world, not to speak of beyond this world, of the spiritual world and all these things. They cannot know. And even they try to know, they just know how things are going. And we were saying yesterday, the scientists, researchers, experimenters, they know how, maybe they can analyze how, but why they're going on. And this is what we were saying yesterday. Why? The seed comes from the tree, goes to the ground, and then the seed grows and becomes a plant, becomes a tree itself. So these things are going on. It's very amazing how it goes on. A huge banyan tree just drops a little seed, and then in time it becomes also a huge banyan tree. So how is it going on? They have studied it. Oh, the genetic code is in the seed. So therefore, that's why it's happening. But it's not actually why it's happening. That's just explaining how it's happening. Not why, just how. Why is another? They don't know what. Why does the seed? Why is there a seed there? Why is there a need for a seed? Why is there a need for trees to keep propagating? Why? Keep the species going and have children. Why? Maybe someone can explain how, but why? Why is there a need for that? Why this child is attached to this mother attached to that child? We were talking about this yesterday. How? Yeah, the genetic code is in there, it's all there. DNA. Of course, the DNA doesn't explain everything. I was saying that yesterday. Can you find in the strand of DNA affection, love? Where is it in there? Where is it in there? The strand of DNA. You show me where love and affection and all these things are in the strand of DNA. It's chemicals. That's all. But they'll explain it somewhere. You know, well, they know in the brain we find the area for this and the area for that. But that's just... That doesn't come from DNA. DNA may be forming that. But these things are going through that. Get those things out of the brain and put them on the table. Will you find affection there? Anyway, they have the explanations. But, you know, okay, so then how? How these things are done, but why, that they cannot understand, and even how, they're not fully able to explain how. It's not possible, because it's so complicated, so vast, one universe, so many universes, you know, how all these things are done, it's not possible. But if one is trained properly, under the auspices of the Guru, and with learning from Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, these books, following the proper, he can begin the process of being able to perceive these things. The change in the body, how he goes from one body to another, so on and so forth. Now, one has to be yathanta yoginas chayanam paschant yathmatya bhashita yathanta pyakritatmanam nainam paschant kichita. And this is stressed here by Krishna and also stressed by Srila Prabhupada, also stressed here. But one has to be situated in the process of self-realization. You need to understand. Now, when one can understand the goings on in the material world, then one has a chance to be liberated from it. This is very, very important. You don't know the goings on. You actually don't know. There's a lot of speculation in the material world. We have many who are speculating. But actually what's going on, that's another thing. So we have to actually come to the position of knowing. This is very, very important. And then when we start to know, we begin to, and this comes with training, so the Guru is training, follow the process, training, explaining. It's like we're having these classes, we're having Bhakti Shastri, we're having, also you have here Bhakti Bhavabra, Bhakti Bhavabra, studying of the Bhagavad Gita,
studying of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhaktivedanta. Have they got the Bhaktivedanta right? I think someone recently studied Bhaktivedanta. Then, of course, you can go to Bhakti Thakur. Many years of study, Chaitanya Bhagavat, all these other books. Under the auspices of the teacher, simultaneously you're following the process, because just the jnana itself is insufficient. You have to be purified to be able to realize that knowledge. Otherwise, be intellectual, you'll study it, and then you'll forget it. Many are studying. Quite often we find that, oh yes, he has got or she has got the Bhakti Shastri, but then 9 months later, 1 year later, and you ask him the same questions, they've forgotten everything. Because intellectual study, intellectualizing a thing is insufficient. You have to use your intelligence to understand, your mind and your senses and everything. But really, the realization comes from becoming purified and advanced in Krishna consciousness. And that we were saying, yes, Kashi Krishna Namani, Nababhadraimin, Seven Mukhiri, Swami, and Spurakina. And with the blunt material senses mind, you cannot understand things as they are. When the senses are purified, the Prabhupada used to use the example of, with the eye, what can you see? You can't see things far away, you can't see things very small. But if you take the help of the telescope, or you take the help of the microscope, then you can see. You're refining your vision, or you're expanding your vision. Similarly, through devotional service, we're purifying ourselves. So along with the study, you have to be following sadhana, chanting. Therefore, I think that, I don't know, still, but I know in the beginning of the Bhakti Shastri was required that you attended the temple program and all that sort of thing. Hear the Srimad Bhagavatam class, chanted your rounds, attended the Guru Puja, all these things. You have to do all those things. This is also by hearing, chanting, studying, all these things together. Have to be together. Then you get purified. And you're learning and get purified. Then all these things become within your heart, will be revealed, you become enlightened from within. And you will go from jnana to vijnana, realization. Very important. So you understand now, one of the things, of course, that it's gone over again and again and again in the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, these topics are again brought up. Now, someone asked me the other, I forget where it was, in Sydney, someone said, it seems that in the Srimad Bhagavatam that the different subjects are introduced, but then the same subjects are revisited. You know, talking about how one's not the body, which was already here in Bhagavad Gita, in Bhagavatam also, just like we're reading here. One is Brahman, one is not the body, one is not the mind or the senses, one is... And so it seems that, yes, I said the Acharyas, and Sukadeva Goswami, very intelligently, because he knows our conditioned nature. And we forget. You can hear something, we'll walk out the door and it's forgotten already. Like if I say to you, what was the first sentence I said in the beginning of this class? Who can answer? Not even I can answer. Right there. Right? So this is our memory. Our memory, we can't even, you know, even we say something and we don't even remember we said it. So, you know, so therefore these things have to be said over. And of course, okay, you'll forget, but what is the result of forgetting? It's not just the forgetting in itself. And this word is used here, ashmiti. Shmiti means remembering, ashmiti means forgetting. And so just, you know, conditioned nature is that you're ashmiti. You're not shmiti, you're ashmiti. You're forgetting all the time. And the result of that is that you separate. You're separate from actually... You know, the more you forget, the more you separate yourself from your actual position. So we hear these things and then we forget and then, you know, we don't stay connected. We don't stay connected to Krishna, we don't stay connected to ourselves as Atma, Jivatma, Brahman. It's who we actually really are. That's who we're really, it's our soul. That's our position.
You know, just like we have some who say, like the Christians, they'll say, we have a soul. The humans have a soul. That is incorrect understanding. Humans don't have a soul. We are the soul. We have a body. We have a material body. We have a human body. So it's a backwards understanding. They'll say, we have a soul. So that means we are different from the soul. Isn't it? When someone says, I have a soul, because the I is different from the soul. So who are we then? The soul is one personality over here, and then we are something different. So I have a soul, that means it needs to say I am the body. So that's a wrong thing. I am the soul. I am the soul, and right at the moment, I'm living in a particular body. So we have to always remember that. So why do the sages, acharyas, keep going over these same points again and again? Do you think it's for their benefit? No, they were in full transcendental realization, for our benefit. So we have these recurring themes, again and again. This one is the 11th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. And again, this theme that you are not the body, you are the spirit soul. And then other things get added along the way. Other things get added. Same thing is make sure you are still remembering this basic. If you don't remember the basic, what is the use of all the extra? You know that you heard many times the story of the boatman. The boatman who is a simple boatman, his living was just rowing the boat across the river. He used to take many people, and then one big professor came, wanted to go across. Yes, and he went across halfway across. The boatman, he was very proud of the professor. What do you know about the fauna and the flora, all these things? Oh, I don't know so much, I'm just a boatman. What do you know about the clouds and how they're formed and all these things? Oh, I'm just a boatman, I don't know that man. What about the different goings on and interactions of the human beings? Oh, well, don't know something. Things about I'm just a boatman. Then halfway across, of course, there was the storm, wind, and the river became very rough, and the boat was tottering here and there. And the professor got very worried. Oh, boatman, what are we going to do? What happens if we fall in and the boat topples and we fall in the river? And the boatman said, "Just swim, professor. Just swim, swim to the bank." The professor said, "No. Boatman, I don't swim." So the boatman said, "Then you've wasted 100% of your life." Actually, I forgot to say that every time this professor said, "Do you know about the fauna and flora?" Boatman would say, "I don't know." "Oh, you wasted 25% of your life." And then the next thing, "What about the cloud?" And then, "I don't know," then he would say, "Oh, you wasted 50%. And then the next one, "What do you know about it?" "Oh, you wasted 75%. The boatman, and he said, "But you wasted 100%. Because you might know all these things, but you don't even know how to swim. So what's the use of knowing all these things? You're going to be dead." You didn't learn the basic thing. You didn't know how to swim. So we can learn a lot of things, but if we don't learn the basic thing, or we keep forgetting the basic thing. So therefore, we have this this recurring thing. You are not the body, you are Brahma, you are Atma. And this is constantly repeated, right, through Bhagavad Gita, through Srimad Bhagavatam, different places. Because the acharyas are very intelligent. They know our conditioned nature. Yes, they start at the beginning of the Bhagavatam, or the beginning of the Gita, but by now they've probably forgotten how they're just the Gita and the spirit soul. So we better remind them along the way. And as we're reminding them, we're adding some other things also. And then we remind them again, and then we add some more things. We remind them again, and then we add some more things. So in this way, we're just guided in a very nurturing way to a more higher level of transcendental knowledge. But then one comes, of course, to the high levels of relationship, as mentioned in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, higher rasas and all these types of things. Very, not so easy to understand from even from a devotee point of view, especially on the lower levels of devotional service. But gradually one is brought up by the acharya. So this is the benefit. This is the benefit of engaging in devotional service and a learning under the guidance of the Guru. And of course the Guru is under the predecessor of Acharyas. So he is just presenting what he has learned. So in this way it's going very nicely. Very carefully guided all the way. So transcendental knowledge has to be imparted very carefully. There's a very precious commodity, you could say. So it has to be handled very carefully. Just like the mango. In the former times they would get the mangoes off the trees, they would form a kind of human chain and pass them down very carefully. So as not to bruise the mango. Because once the mango is bruised, then it takes a different thing. It doesn't have the same sweetness of taste. So similarly, the knowledge is passed down very carefully from the guru to disciple, and passed down. So it's not changed in any way, presented just nicely for your benefit. And then you advance more and more and more. And if you can understand the nature of the world, the nature of yourself, the supreme, all these things, then there's a chance of the liberation. Now, in this process, there's no chance. And nor will you actually be able to understand what's going on. Now here it is said that you have to build this chain. Those who are not situated, they may try to see. Those whose minds are not developed, are not situated, cannot see what is taking place, although they may try to see what's taking place. But they try, but they actually won't be able to see. They are under the spell and the illusion of the material. I'll read this verse again, and if anyone has any questions or comments. Atma jajana ma marishyati naidate so nachiyate savana vidya vicharinam hi savat shashpad anapayu palabdi matram prano yatindriya balana vikalpitam sat. Brahma, the eternal soul, is never born, will never die, nor does it grow or decay. The spirit soul is actually the power of the youth, middle age, and death of the material body. Thus the soul can be understood to be pure consciousness, existing everywhere at all times, never being destroyed. Thus the life within the body, although one becomes manifest as many in contact with the various material senses, the one soul appears to assume various material designations in contact with the material body. Any questions or comments? Yes.
About how the
faculty
of the energy is eternal.
Is eternal?
So from our perspective, we understand that the four factors are eternal, the one is temporary. So when we look at faculty as karma, temporary, is that is because all of karma, everything is creature, can be ended at one time.
Yes, but I mean, these are aspects of the material world, like the karma and the prakriti. But I was talking in the context that the material world, and I think you didn't clearly understand, that the material world is transforming, and there's creation, and there's destruction, and so on and so forth. So in that sense, it can be described as temporary, temporary manifest, but it's actually continuously going on. When there's destruction, there's creation again. So in that sense, because it's continuously going on, and of course it's the energy of the Supreme Personality of God which is in it, so it's actually eternal. So in that context, it's eternal. And as far as the karma and all this stuff, these things are temporary. Your karma changes all the time from one body to the other. And of course when you're liberated, prakriti, you mentioned the different categories of subject matter of the Gita and so on and so forth. Right? Is that your question?
Yes, because it doesn't mean that it becomes total of karma, because you might think that karma is the liberation. That's
the right answer. What doesn't refer to that?
It doesn't refer to that.
What do you mean you say it? What is it?
Karma.
Karma doesn't refer to what?
To the total potential of all our karma, it's because to my particular karma which can be finished at liberation, is that correct understanding?
Well, when karma is talked about in the Bhagavad Gita, I'm trying to
understand
the
concept. Yes, that's what I'm asking, because I'm talking about
Yeah. Well, it can be both because, you know, it actually, when the subject matter is of Bhagavad Gita, I spoke, you know, there's Prakriti, there's Akala, there's Karma, you know, these things. When Karma is spoken about, there's a general description of Karma, you know, being a Karma in general for everyone is temporary. And then there's your individual Karma, which is included in that. In one sense, karma is eternally going on in this world. Because this world is eternally going on. So it can be understood in both ways. Karma is temporary as far as you're concerned, it's when you get liberated and there's no more karma. But because it's, you know, there's always living conditioned souls in the world, so in that sense it can be also considered eternal. But when it's spoken about in the context of the subject of the Gita, it's generally it's considered temporary as far as your individual karma is concerned. If you become liberated, then it's finished.
Yeah.
You understand?
My confusion was because there's always going to be conditioned souls, so always going to be karma as well. So that context is understand that it's temporary, because there's always going to be karma in this world. So when that's spoken about there, it's both, it means the karma of everyone, and the karma is always going on.
And then your individual karma is temporary, it's changing, and then when you become liberated, it's over. But karma, as a concomitant factor of the material world, is always going on. As long as the material world is here, there's karma for the living entities. So in that sense, it's kind of an eternal function. The function of karma is going on eternally, because it's a function of the world which is going on eternally. But the world is, you know, I mean, you have to understand, the world itself, Prakriti, is considered temporary, because there's destruction and then it has to be created again. So in that way, it's kind of temporarily manifest, and then it manifests again. So in that sense, it's you know, time is considered, the Atma is considered eternal, time is considered, Supreme is considered eternal. The Prakriti, Karma, these things are considered temporary. Because of creation and destruction. But on a higher level, both of them can be considered eternal as well. So there's different contexts you have to understand this. I think you're confusing the context. You're trying to put it all in one. But in one context, this is eternal, and another lower context is considered temporary. Both Prakriti and Karma is considered temporary. Okay. So different levels of understanding and different contexts of understanding. Yeah.
There are three types of God realization. There are three types of God realization. One is Brahman realization. Like, is the soul same as Brahman or is it like different?
I explained that. There's the same quality. The soul is Atma, and he is Brahman, because he is spiritual. Just like the drop of the water has the quality of the water, and the ocean is also the water. But the quantity is different. So the Atma is not the same as the Brahman, or the Atma Brahman is not the same as the Supreme Brahman. The quantity is big. He is just a spark in the total effulgence of the Brahman. He is Brahman in quality, but not in quantity. Yes,
ma'am. Could you talk about also on the subject that I'm now saying, like this
What is that? What is it? I'm just trying to understand you, but what is the...
So the different levels of realization, that the mind, Paramatma, and Bhagavan.
What is the difference between Paramatma and Bhagavan? Is that what you're asking?
Well, yeah, no, because it encompasses all three. It's a hard question of us to define.
Yes.
So Bhagavan means that everything is Krishna, and it's also a person and performing pastimes. So, you know, a self-realized yogi would say that he's like part and parcel of the Lord, but also Krishna is performing pastimes in the material world and in the spiritual world simultaneously.
Yes.
So,
Sounds like you've been answering your own questions. Whatever you're saying is correct.
Also, Satyavati Muni says about how he just prays that the Lord could, you know, constantly be performing past his past bonds within his heart. That's all.
I think you have to get your question clear, but no, I mean, I don't know exactly what you're asking, but. You know, Paramatma is within your heart. And as far as, you talk about meditation, when one's a very advanced devotee, then you can meditate on the Lord, engage in so many different pastimes. And he sees that Lord within his own heart. so that vision is there within him. Now, I don't know exactly what you're asking. I think that you have to be clear in your own self.
Yeah.
You seem to be confused on the level of Paramatma and the level of Bhagavan.
Yeah.
Paramatma is basically, he's existing in everyone's heart, and he's just overseeing and arranging everything for going on in the material world. There's no pastimes as far as Paramatma is concerned. And the Paramatma feature of the Lord is just for this material world. There's no Paramatma feature in the spiritual world.
Yeah.
Understand? The Paramatma feature, there's no meaning to Paramatma, the Lord in the heart in the spiritual world, because the Lord is there in front of you. And it doesn't have to, everything is being arranged spontaneously on the spiritual platform. There's no need of. Paramatma is coming to this material world, going in the heart, and going in the atom. He is the one that makes everything work and arranges everything. That is Paramatma. He is just existing there and arranging, overseeing, permitting. Upadashtanamantacha. This is explained in the Bhagavad Gita and other places. But this is Paramatma. As far as the yogi's meditating within the heart, is that where your confusion lies? When the yogi's meditating in the heart, and how can they meditate on Paramatma? Because Paramatma is just in the heart. But their vision is of Krishna and Krishna's pastime. They're just envisioning that in the heart. They're not actually meditating on Paramatma as such. But they're envisaging the pastimes of Krishna within their hearts.
I was going to ask, can you put a cup and
cup manifest and unmanifest?
Can the very seed manifest, go to India or something like that?
Well, if someone is very, very advanced, can see all those seeds.
In Bhagavan realization? They can actually see the
nature of the life. Well, there's different levels of Bhagavan realizing. Bhagavan realizes God is a person, and God is all these opulences. And so there's different levels. There's a beginning level of that, and then there's very, very high levels. And so according to one's level of advancement, then you can understand the different pastimes of the Lord. You can see those pastimes. You can go in those pastimes. So it's a question of your advancement, what pastimes and what you meditate on, what you see and so on. So, like it is said that in Vrindavan, even today, Krishna and Radha and Rudra, they're all having their pastimes. But can you see that when you go there? You won't see it. Because, you have to be very, very high devotees. Your pastimes are still going on. But you won't see it. You'll just see something else. But they're going on still. So the reason one is very, just like Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, they were seeing their father. They actually seen him. They saw him. There's many stories like that. And later on, he used to come, the gopis would come, Krishna would come. So they actually see him. We don't see. So that's because we're understanding Bhagavan, but we're not very high on that level yet. And when you become high on the Bhagavan platform, realization, when you're the leelas and pastime, then you can start to see. All glories to Prabhupada ki jai. All